Okay, everybody, we are on Megillah Daf Yud Aleph Mabez, around 10 lines down from the top. We were discussing the seven prophetesses, ladies who had prophecy. And we were in the middle of discussion of Avigail and David. And the Gemara already proved to us how we know that Avigail was had prophecy. And now the Gemara says, 10 lines down from the top, when Avigail was taking leave, when she was leaving David after their conversation was over, so she said to him, when God does good by you, so you should remember me. Amar Rav Nachman, Haynu Damri Inchi, Issa Bahadi Shusa Pilcha, Ika Damri, Shafil Ve'ozil Bar Avza, Ve'inui Mitafayu. Right? Both of these phrases mean that she was planning ahead in advance. That when ladies are either when they're talking, they're, making yarn, or when a goose, is going, it looks far ahead. The point is that she was looking out ahead to the future when, if her husband should die, then David HaMelech should remember her and marry her. Chulda. Now we're on to the next lady. The next lady was Chulda. Chulda had prophecy. And they go to discuss with Chulda the events that happened. They go to receive prophecy. And the Gemara asks, if Yirmiyah was the established prophet, if he was the established Navi in the days of Chilkiyahu, so then why would Chilkiyahu go to Chulda instead of going to Yirmiyah? Listen, Chulda and Yirmiyah were relatives, so Yirmiyah didn't care. The Gemara will talk about this a little bit later. Chulda and Yirmiyah were relatives. Yirmiyah didn't care if Chulda was giving prophecy or if people went to Chulda. But how could Yoshiyahu, who was the king at the time, right? He was the one who dispatched these people to go to Chulda. How could Yoshiyahu send people to Chulda instead of going to Yirmiyah? Because ladies are more merciful than men. So when Yoshiyahu, when he found the Torah and he opened it up and it was open to the Tochacha, so when he was looking for help, he went to Chulda instead of going to Yirmiyah. Rav Yochanan Amar Yirmiyah lo havi hasam. Rav Yochanan says, no, listen, he really, Yoshiyahu HaMelech would have sent everybody to Yirmiyah, but Yirmiyah wasn't there. He was out of town. Shalach lahachzir aseres hashvatim, because he went to retrieve the aseres hashvatim, the 10 tribes who were exiled by the Assyrian Sancheirev, Sargon II of Assyria. So Yirmiyah went to find them and to bring them back. Uminalon lahadur. How do we know that Yirmiyah was successful? That he actually brought them back. Tichsiv ki amochel mikbar lo yashuv. Because when Yechezkel is giving prophecy, Yechezkel says that the Yovel is going to stop. And the Gemara asks, "Efshar you Yovel batel v'navi misnabeyolav sheivatel?" But when Yechezkel was already talking, it was already after the Assyrians had exiled the 10 tribes. So Yovel already should have stopped. Elomalamich Yirmiyah Siron. Well, Yirmiyah was successful in bringing some of them back to the point where we could have Yovel, and that's why Yechezkel would then prophesy that that Yovel is going to stop again. He didn't bring everybody back, but he brought some of them back enough that we could have Yovel. Yoshio ben Amon Malachalei, and the Gemara continues that when Yirmiyah brought back the people from the 10 tribes, so King Yoshiyahu ruled over them. How do we know? The Chsiv Vayomer Matzion Halaz. Yoshiyahu says, what is this monument? Asher Ani Roeh Vayomer Elaman Shei Yir Akever Ish Elohim Asher Bami Yudav Ekras At Devarim Ha'ila Asher Asisa Al HaMizbeach Beit El. Here's the point. V'chimat Tivo Shei Yoshiyahu HaMizbeach V'Beit El. What is Yoshiyahu doing in Beit El? Beit El was not part of the monarchy of Judah. Beit El was a part of the monarchy of Yisrael. It was where the 10 tribes were. What was Yoshiyahu doing in that area? Melamich Yoshiyahu Malach Aleihem. So this is where we learn that Yoshiyahu was actually ruling over the area of the 10 tribes because Yirmiyah was successful in bringing some of them back. Rav Nachman Amar Mayhach Rav Nachman. So we learned this from an alternative source. Right, there will be a harvest when the people will return. This is a prophecy that the people will return in the days of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Esther, how do we know that Esther was a prophetess? How do we know that Esther had prophecy? On the third day, Esther put on royalty. Big day Malchus Mivoylechu, so she put on royal clothes. El Shalosh the Ruach HaKodesh. Really, it's telling us that she, so to speak, wore Ruach HaKodesh. Ksiv Hachava Tilbash, it says here that Esther wore Uksiv Hasam Viruach Lavsha Es Amisai. The spirit was worn by Amisai. So you see the same thing, that wearing can be talking about the spirit and not necessarily talking about And not necessarily talking about clothing. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Bar Lo Yoyi Rasa Lenoshi. That you are of is like haughtiness. Rashi writes chashivos, means prominence. But haughtiness is not fitting for ladies. It's not fitting for anybody for that matter. But Tarati Noshi Iran, two ladies, they expressed haughtiness. Visanyan Shamayu, and their names indicate this repulsive quality. Chadashma Ziburta, one means a bee. And the other's name means a weasel. Ziborta ksib bava tishlach vatikra levarach. This is talking about Devorah, the same lady we just said was a Nevi'ah. So when she calls to Barak, the Gemara says that was not appropriate. V'ilu iilo ozal legabe. She should have gone herself to go to Barak. So she had some element of yuara, some element of haughtiness. Karkushta ksib imru la'ish. And by Chulda, right, it says imru la'ish. She was talking about sending a message to Yoshiyahu, but she just calls him an ish. She doesn't call him a king. Again, element of haughtiness. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman taught Chulda b'nei banav shel Yoshua. Isa Chulda was a descendant of Yoshua. Yoshua ben Nun. Ksiv haka ben Charchas. In talking about Chulda, it says ben Charchas. Uksiv hasam b'simnas charas. Cheres, sorry. So you see the same phraseology. And that's why we know that Chulda was a descendant of Yoshua. The Gemara questions this. Esa yirav ina savala Rav Nachman. Ina savala Rav Nachman. Shmona neviyim heim. Vehem Kohanim, Yotsu Meirachav Azona. There were eight prophets who were Kohanim and also descendants from Rachav. You remember Rachav, that when Yoshua sends spies into Eretz Yisrael, Rachav is the one who takes them in. The Eluhain, these are these eight prophets who descended from Rachav. Neria, Baruch, Sarya, Machseya, Yirmiah, Chilkiah, Chanamel, and Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Af Chulda Neviyah, Mibnei Vaneh, Shal Rachav Azono Isa. And Rabbi Yehuda said that even Chulda was a descendant of Rachav. How do we know? Ksiv Hacha ben Tikva, Ksiv Asam, as Tikvas Chut Hashoni. The same language, Tikva, is used by Chulda and by Rachav. So you see that Rachav is a descendant of Chulda, not a descendant of Yoshua. Somewhere like Inesaba, Mimila Pasi Yakuba, Minayu Minach Testayim Shemata, the Igaria of Inasva Yoshua. He says, no, we're both correct, because Rachav converted and she married Yoshua. So Chulda is a descendant both of Rachav and Yoshua, because they were married to each other. So Mi Havile Zara Li Yoshua, but did Yoshua really have children? Vaksiv non bino Yoshua bino, and when the pasuk is relaying the lineage, the family of Yoshua, it doesn't list any children. So the Gemara answers, no, Bani lo havelu, but benosan havelu. He didn't have sons, but he had daughters. That's why they aren't listed in that lineage over there, which is listing sons. But he had daughters, and from Yoshua's daughters, right, came Chulda. Right, good. The Gemara continues. Bishlam in Yumafarsha, the Gemara is talking about this list of eight prophets that came from Rachav. Some of them are explicitly written in the text. Ella Abasrayu Minolon, but they're not all listed in the text as being prophets. So how do we know they were all prophets? Kidu Ula do Amar Ula, because Ula Komakom Sheshmo Vishim Av Benevuas Biyadua Shehu Navi Ben Navi. Shemo, that whenever the Torah is talking about matters of prophecy and it lists for us the prophet's name and the name of his father, so we learn from there that he and his father were both prophets. Shemo Vilo Vishim Av, but if it just says his name and not the name of his father, so that's how we know that he was a prophet, but his father was not a prophet. So since some of the prophets are listed with their parents, that's how we know that the parents were also prophets. Shemo v'shem Iro mifurash, if the prophet is listed and the city that he comes from is listed, b'yadua shuhum ayoso ha'ir. So that means obviously he came from that city. But shemo v'lo shem Iro, if we have a prophet and we don't have a city from which he came from listed in the Navi, b'yadua shuhum Yerushalayim. So then it must be that he came from Yerushalayim. That's a default city of prophets. Right, the Brisa taught that whenever a person's actions and the actions of his father are not known to us, and then the Navi tells us, the Pasuk tells us that one of their actions were really lishvach, were really praiseworthy. Kigon, for example, when the Torah introduces us to the Navi Tzafanya, so it also lists his father and his grandfather. So, Yehud Tzadik Ben Tzadik. So by telling us that Tzafaniah is descendant of these people and praising Tzafaniah, that tells us that the people listed were also righteous as well. And the reverse is also true. Whenever we don't know people, and the Navi introduces us to people and also tells us their parents' name, and we find out that that person is wicked, Kigon, for example, Yishmael, this is the fellow who kills Gedaliah ben Achikam. So we don't know who his father is, Nesaniah, or his grandfather, Elishama. But when the Pasuk introduces us and gives us his father's name, his grandfather's name, and then we find out that Yishmael is wicked, Biyaduashu Rasha ben Rasha. So then we know that he's wicked and his ancestors were wicked as well. Amar Rav Nachman, Malachi Zeh Mordechai. This is amazing. Rav Nachman says that Malachi and Mordechai are the same person. The Navi Malachi is a book in Trey Asar, right? And Mordechai are the same person. Why did they call him Malachi? If his name was Mordechai, why did they call him Malachi? Because he was second to the king. He was so important. He was like a Malach. So they called him Malachi. The Gemara questions this teaching that Mordechai and Malachi were the same person because Baruch ben Neria, the Brisa says that Baruch ben Neria, Usaria ben Maasaya, Vidaniel, Umordechai Bilshon, Vichagai, Zecharia, Umalachi, Kul Nisnabu Bishnashtain Ladaryavish. All of these people, they had prophecy in the second year of Daryavish, but you'll notice in the list, it's listed both Malachi and Mordechai. So obviously they're not the same person. So Tiyufta the Gemara says, you're right, really Mordechai and Malachi are not the same person. So they're not the same person. But Tanya Mereshua ben Korcha, Malachi ze Ezra. Malachi really was not Mordechai, but really Malachi was Ezra. The Chachamim Amrim, Malachi Shmo. And Chachamim say, no, listen. There was a Navi, his name was Malachi. It's not Ezra, it's not Mordechai. It's a big machlokas, who really Malachi was. Some people thought Malachi was Mordechai. We rejected that possibility. Others thought Malachi was Ezra. And others thought that really it was just Malachi. Amar Rav Nachman Mistaber Kimanda Amar Malachi Zeh Ezra. It makes sense to say that Malachi was Ezra, while we rejected the possibility that Malachi was Mordechai. The Gemara says it makes sense to say that Malachi was Ezra. Dichsib in Avias Malachi, because one of the prophecies of Malachi is Bug Yivitueva Nasa Biyisov Yushlan Kichila Yuda Kodesh Adonai Asher Ahev Ubaal Bas El Nechar, because Malachi gives prophecy about Jews who are marrying non-Jewish ladies. Umanet Rish Noshim Nachrios, and who was the one who separated Jews from their non-Jewish wives? Ezra, that's Ezra. Dichsib Ayan Shechani Minachim Neilam Veomer LeEzra Nachnu Ma'alnu Be'Elohino Vanoshev Noshim. So one of the prophecies is shared between Ezra and Malachi, so it makes sense that maybe Malachi was Ezra. Tanur Rabbanan, Arba Nashim Yifei Rosari Biolom. There were four very beautiful women in the world: Sarah, Avigail, Rachav, and Esther. Ulaman Damar Esther Yakrok Esaisa. And according to the opinion that we already learned, that Esther had like a greenish complexion. So the Gemara is saying maybe that doesn't sound so beautiful. So to count Esther as one of the four very beautiful ladies. So Mavik Esther Umayel Vashti. So then really, according to that opinion, they took Esther out of this list and they inserted Vashti in her stead. A different lady from the book of Esther. When somebody would just hear Rachav's name, they would become aroused. Yael Bekola, Yael's voice, when you heard her voice. Avigayo Bizichrasa, Avigayo, when you remembered her, then you got aroused. Micho Basho Beriyasa, and Micho Basho was also very beautiful. When you saw her, people were just aroused. She married David HaMelech, Micho Basho. Omer Revi Yitzchok, Omer Rachav, Rachav Miat Nikri. Anybody who says Rachav, Rachav, immediately they become a Balkari. Rav Nachman said, not true. I know I mean a Rachav Rachav lo ichbesli. I'll do it right now. Rachav Rachav. Look, nothing happens. Omar le, ki kamina biyodo v'makira. No, he said, no, because you never met her. If you would have met her, you would have known her. So then saying her name twice would have had a very significant effect. Let's get back to the Megillah. So Mordechai knew everything that was going on, everything that happened with Haman and Achashverosh. My Omar. So what did Mordechai say? Right? The Pasuk says, vayitzak tzaka gedola umar. He let out a bitter cry. So what did he say? What did he say when he cried? So Rav Amar Gova Haman Achashverosh. He said, "Oh, Haman is worse than Achashverosh." Ushmuel Amar Gova Malki Ulami Malko Tatoi. Mordechai said, "You see Achashverosh is forcing God's hand, so to speak. That Achashverosh is doing something over God because he's going to attack the Jewish people." When Mordechai tells Esther about what's going on, so Vatischa. So Esther becomes pained, not really pained, like She becomes afraid. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much. Mayuat tischachal. So what does it mean that she became afraid? So Amarav Shapir Sanida. She became anida. If Yirmiyahu Amar Shutzuchol Nekvesh, she had to go to the bathroom. Vatikra Esther laHasach, and Esther calls Hasach. That's the guy that she sends out to Mordechai. Amarav Hasach said Daniel. Rav said Hasach is Daniel. V'lemidik Roshma Hasach. Why do they call Hasach Daniel? A lot of nicknames, by the way. I hope you're keeping track of it. Shachsumig Dulaso, because they cut down his greatness. Ushmuel Achashverosh cut down his greatness. Ushmuel Amar Shakol Divrei Malchus Nechtochen Alpiv. No, the contrary. It means that everything was sealed by his, decided by his say so. He was still very, very prominent. The Megillah. More from the Megillah. Das Mazav Yamazeh. Esther sends Hasach to find out what's going on. So Rav Yitzchak Sholcholo. She said to him, Shemar Avi Yisrael Achamish Chum Sheitorah Dechsiven Mizeh Mizeh Heim Ksuvim. Maybe Esther said, maybe this is happening to us because we weren't keeping the Torah. Ve'Yigidu Mordechai Esther Ve'Esther. They told Mordechai that which Esther said. The Ilu Iyu Lo Azal Agaveh. But it's not Hasach anymore. Mikan Sheim Hashivan Al Kol. This is because he didn't want to report back with bad news that Esther wasn't going to do it. Now when Esther eventually goes to Achashverosh, Shleich Kenos Kolidim Asher. Go gather together all of the Jews, Esther says, and David, and I'm going to go into Achashverosh, Asher Lo Kedas, which is not like the way that it is normally done. So, that up until that point, Esther was living Achashverosh. She was forced to live with Achashverosh. Now, she was going to initiate living with Achashverosh. And that would make a big difference, because the difference would be, just like I'm lost in my father's house, now I'll be lost to you. Remember, we learned that Mordechai and Esther were married together. And the halacha is that if a lady is coerced to living with somebody else, so then she can go back to her husband, unless her husband is a kohen, which Mordechai was apparently not. But if she willingly has an affair with somebody else, so then she becomes prohibited to her husband as well. And that was what Esther was saying was going to happen there now, because she was going to initiate with Achashverosh, and that would make her prohibited to her husband. Okay, we'll stop here tonight.